left off the previous year, just trying to get a little bit of a better understanding as to what is behind the machlokes between the Amoraim, the Rabbanan, and the Chizda, when you have the contradiction of Edim, where do we go in future cases? So this particular case, Reuben and Shimon claim that the window was broken. Levi and Yehuda claim the window wasn't broken. Obviously, we can't budge in this case. This case comes to a head. The question is, what happens next week? When the two, one set of Edim come in and testify that somebody borrowed $1,000 from somebody else, the other set of Edim come in and testify that somebody broke somebody else's window, where do we go from here? So Rav Huna said that you follow Chazaka Meikar, that's at least the way the Rashbam explained this sugya. And since each set of Edim has the status quo of being kosher, I was kosher when I was born, kosher. Now we have a latest asafik, whether I became possible. So the Chazaka Meikar teaches us that I retain my status of kosher. The problem is, as Rav Chista pointed out, that's wonderful. Chazaka Meikar is a wonderful thing. Except whoever heard of Chazaka Meikar being Motzi Mamo. So you're going to use the principle, this idea of a status quo, and use it to take away money from somebody. L'chori, that doesn't work. But that's exactly what Rav Huna said. And l'halocha, we accept the view of Rav Huna. So that's to get the ball rolling on Wednesday. What is the din? What is the halocha? Forget about Shnei Kipi Eidim. Forget about Ashur. A regular scenario. We have a din Torah. And based on trying to figure out, does Reuben owe Shimon the money? So there's some kind of a chazaka meikara, some shape or form of a following the status quo that seems to point in the direction that Reuben does owe the money. Would we paskin based on that? Would we might see mammon based on that? That's what Rabbuna sounds like he's saying. That's what Talacha sounds like he's saying. The chazaka meikara, just as it's useful in other areas of halacha, can be used in dini mammonis. The problem with that is we left off with the question of the transitive property of geometry. And wait a second. Rov can't be multi-mammon. We know that. That's an explicit gemara. Rov can't be multi-mammon. And another explicit gemara is that Rov is greater than Chazava. So if Rov is greater than Chazava and Rov can't be multi-mammon, so how much more so Chazava can't be multi-mammon? And that's kind of what we left it hanging on Wednesday. On the one hand, we have a gemara, Vasta Flamed Aleph. Huna says the Eidim are kosher. Rashbam says the only way to explain the kashrus of the Eidim is based on Chazaka Meikara. That's pointing in the direction that Chazaka Meikara is valid for the Motzi Mamon. It can't be. And Hochem Mamon Acharov, obviously, and Hochem Chazaka, Hochem Mamon Achar Chazaka as well. So suggests the Pnei Yeshua a whole new insight into the sugya. We like to open up our eyes to some of these principles of Muxa, of the road, of Chazaka, and just how true this transitive property of geometry is, at least as it plays out in the sugya. So comes up by Yeshua and really raises a conceptual question and goes well beyond the intricacies of this road better than Chazaka, Chazaka better than road, etc. Very often, when you have a clash between two different forces, like the sugya and Maseches Kedushin, a road against the Chazaka, the rov is, the child is probably tame, and therefore the dough is probably tame. The chazaka is, well, the dough had the status quo of being pure until now, so it retains its status quo. So you fight back and forth and back and forth, and we pass it, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. How do you understand that principle of ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif? When A comes into conflict with B, so A wins out. So one can understand that one of two ways. Either one can understand that A is intrinsically a more powerful force in halacha, that A independently has more kof. A has certain characteristics that B doesn't have. And A is in fact stronger than B. That's the reason why A beats out B. Is that the shot? Well, not necessarily. Just because A in this particular scenario happens to overcome B, it doesn't mean that A is greater than B. It doesn't mean if you look at A and B independently that A is necessarily more powerful than B. What it means is as follows. When there's a conflict, when there's a clash between A and B, there are certain other factors that are present that give A the upper hand. It does not mean that A is quote unquote stronger than B. It just means that when the two meet, when the two come head to head, so A has the ability to overcome B. It doesn't mean that A is stronger per se than B. I'll try to give a mashal in the natural world. And the mashal may not be a perfect mashal, but I think maybe it drives home this idea that the Bnei Yeshua is telling us. If I would ask you, independently, what's more powerful, water or fire? What's more destructive? What can cause more problems? A lot of water is not a good thing. Fire is not a good thing. I think our initial reaction would probably be fire is more powerful. Power, fire is more frightening. Fire is more destructive. Water, I'll swim, I'll make yourself a boat. Fire, there's no way out. So if you ask yourself, which is, in a sense, more of a koach, I would say fire is more koach of water. But lemaisa, when the two meet, because of the physics that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, water is able to overcome fire. Does that mean that water is stronger than fire? Does that mean that the water has more kochos? No. It just means that when the two meet, so there's something about that union of the two that gives water the upper hand. So Bnei Yeshua raises that same question. When we find in the Loch HaMasechet Kedusha that Rov beats out Chazaka, does that mean that Rov is stronger than Chazaka? No. What is it? All it means is that when Rov and Chazaka clash, there is something about Rov that wins the day. What is it? What is that characteristic about Rov that gives it the ability to overcome Chazaka, even though it's not intrinsically more chashuv than Chazaka? Says the Bnei Yeshua, very simple. Chazaka, by its very definition, is admitting that it may not always be true. All Chazaka is saying is that at one time, this is what happened, but we all know that things in the world do change. The mice of the world is not a static place. Things do change. Maybe it'll change today, maybe it'll change tomorrow, maybe it'll change 6 months. So when I, quote-unquote, invoke the principle of Chazaka, and then I turn around and say, oh, by the way, this Chazaka is God, this Chazaka is meaningless, this Chazaka doesn't apply anymore, that doesn't, it's not a shtach to the Chazaka. It's not saying that you, Chazaka, you're a nothing, you're a gornish, you never existed, you were shekhar mitchila. It's not true. The Chazaka played its role, the Chazaka did what it was supposed to do. Yesterday it was Azoy, and 6 hours ago it was Azoy, and an hour ago it was Azoy. But you know what? At some point, everything's going to change. Nothing's going to remain the same forever and ever and ever. So it might have come in where this can change tomorrow. It's changed now. So to negate a Chazaka is not a terrible thing. To cancel a Chazaka is not steering the Chazaka and giving it a slap in the face. Chazaka, Me'atzmo, is eventually going to change. A rov is a statement of reality. Either the rov is there or the rov's not there. If I ignore a rov, if I take a rov and I say, you rov don't exist, what I'm basically saying, you're a sheker. I thought you existed. I thought there was a 90% chance. And now guess what? I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to ignore you. You can ignore. I'm here. A chazaka never screams out, I'm here all the time, because we know that chazaka is 1 foot out the door. We know chazaka is leaving us. That's what a chazaka means. Things come and go. A rov, if the rov exists, so then the rov should exist forever. There's no reason that the rov should all of a sudden disappear. The nature of rov is to be here forever. So therefore, says the Bnei Yeshua, when you have a rov that goes head on against the chazaka, a rov has to win. Because if you're going to give a chazaka the upper hand and ignore the rov, then you're canceling the rov. You're negating the rov. You're slapping the rov in the face. You're ignoring the rov. You can't do that. When you have a rov and a chazaka, the Torah would prefer to follow the rov, because the clash between the two leads us to believe that we have to give the rov the upper hand. Does that mean that rov is greater and more powerful independent of the chazaka? It's not an indication. It's no more of a proof that water and fire, which is strong, I don't know which is stronger than the two. Says the Bnei Yeshua, therefore, the halacha in Masechet Kedushin of Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Odif, the fact that the Chachamim are metamei the dough at the expense of the Chazaka does not indicate to us anything about the hierarchy. Doesn't tell us which is greater than which. So Taka, which is greater than which? Maybe Chazaka is greater than Rov. Maybe independently, Chazaka can do things that Rov can't do. Says the Bnei Yeshua, if that's the case, then let's go back to the story of what do we do when we have a Din Torah. So we know we have a Din Torah, Din Amamin is, and the Rov is pointing in the direction, let's take away your money. Sorry. Can't budge. Rov doesn't have the koch. Din Torah number two. We have a shayla din amamunis. And Chazaka is telling me to take away your money. Maybe that works. Maybe. Go prove to me it doesn't work. Vishtek. Where does it say in the Gemara that you don't follow Chazaka to take away money? The fact that the Gemara says you don't follow Rav, that's irrelevant, says the Pirkei. It's true, but irrelevant, says the Pirkei Yeshua. Ein ochem b'mamanach ha-rov, but he just made up a new principle called Kein holchen b'mamanach ha-chazacha, which is exactly what Rav Huna said, which is exactly how we paskin, says the Pirkei Yeshua. So this Gemara is not startling. This Gemara is not an exception. This Gemara is not strange. This Gemara is an indication that this klal I just told you, said the Pirkei Yeshua, is emes lamito. That yes, ein holchem b'mamon achar harov, aval kein yesh holchem b'mamon achar chazaka. And rub v'chazak rub adif is irrelevant. It doesn't indicate the hierarchy of anything. That simply highlights when you have a clash between the two, Rov has to win, but not because Rov is necessarily more powerful than Chazaka. That's the famous yisod of the Pnei Yeshua. The question is, what is like prompting him to say this yisod? I mean, it's fascinating. It's razzle-dazzle. It's a shtickle Torah. It's possible. You have to bet it's impossible to say such a shtickle Torah. What is compelling the Pnei Yeshua to say it? Our Gemara, lo chaser other viewer in our Gemara. Which Gemara is what Gemara? What Gemara Chazal are pointing in the direction of this Pnei Yeshua to turn the world upside down? Before the Pnei Yeshua came along, they would have asked anybody else in the days of the Rishonim, presumably, would have asked anybody, tell me which is greater, transitive property, Rova Chazaka. They would have quoted the Gemara condition of Bay, Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. The Yeshua says, no, that's not what the Gemara means. What prompted the Pnei Yeshua to turn the tables and turn the world upside down? So there were two sugyas that were forcing the hand of the Pnei Yeshua. One of them is the Gemara, the third of the Mamakamas. A little bit of a background. It's a Gemara we spoke about several times in passing. Let's just chaz it for a second. A little bit of a complicated scenario. Where the Gemara discusses the following questions. Actually, a Mishnah in the first Berakha Masechet Ksubos. A couple gets married. And then right after the marriage, all of a sudden, they're having a fight. Get there for the first day, they're ready to find themselves in Beis Din. That's why the Mishnah says in Ksubos, you should get married on Wednesday, just in case you have the first Din Torah, you should get it done with the first Asher Brachos Thursday. Don't go to the first Asher Brachos still fighting. So go get it settled in Beis Din. So what's the machlik? What's the fight about on the first night? So comes the Baal, and he says, we were just together last night, and you're not a Basula. Now again, I'm not accusing you of doing anything inappropriate in the sense of being a shisha sinsa. I'm saying that. On the other hand, I just signed off last night to this ksuba for 200 zuz that said very clearly, Besulaichi, you're a besula, besula, besula. So if I would have known that you weren't a besula, I would have only given you 100 zuz. So he's claiming it was ashtekomet. He said, I obligated myself for 200 zuz. It's partially not true. So you're not a besula. So she says, you're right. I'm not arguing with the facts. I happen not to have been a basula, but let me explain to you what happened. Misha Erastadi Na'anasti. She says that after you were Makadish me, 6 months ago you gave me Kiddushin. Then I was living back in my father's house, waiting for the wedding. At that point, after the Kiddushin, somebody attacked me. I was forced, I was raped. Misha Erastadi Na'anasti. Now, in terms of Issa, that's not going to impact on her. She's Ashes to Shroud, it's not going to impact her. So she's permitted to remain married. So she said, I didn't do anything wrong. On the other hand, yes, it's true that I wasn't the Basula, but wait a second, at the time that you were Makadish me, I was the Basula. So comes the woman with the following Lomba Shemano. She says, we share a study that nasty, that is staff chasadehu, your field overflowed. It's your loss, not my loss. I didn't mislead you. You were Makadish me as a Basula. I was a basula. Something happened along the way. That's you're going to suffer the loss. I'm not going to suffer the loss. And therefore, I insist on my 200 zuz. And he turns around. This is the first morning. He turns around and says, no, that's not true. He said, it's possible that Achila Erastich, maybe this happened before I was Makadish you. And therefore, and it was a Mechachtos. It wasn't true. Your story is not true. And therefore, I'm not going to pay you the 200 zuz. I'm going to pay you 100 zuz. So they're fighting back and forth and back and forth. So she's putting forth a claim. I'm entitled to 200 zuz if the marriage dissolves. The marriage is not going in a good direction. If the marriage dissolves, so she's insisting I'm entitled to 200 zuz because I was a basula at the time of the condition. He's saying, not true. So the Gemara raises the question, what do you mean he's saying not true? What do the words mean that he's saying not true? Does he know? Does he have first-hand information? He has a clue. Does she know? Does she have first-hand information? Absolutely. So this Din Torah that's taking place is a classic Din Torah of a Bari Vishema. I put forth a certain claim against you with an absolute conviction and certainty. You owe me X. And your response is very powerful, very shaking, saying, maybe, Evsher, Kenzai, maybe I do, maybe I don't, I don't know. So what's the law? Forget about these intricacies of Suvas, a regular, normal claim. I come up to you and I say, I absolutely certain lent you $1,000. And you respond, you know, I remember we talked about this loan a few months ago. I don't remember whether we actually did it or not. What's the thing? I'm a Bari and you're a Shema. What is the halacha? So we, it's actually a machlekes amarim. We paskin halacha, Bari v'shema, lav Bari adif. That I cannot be motzi mamon just based on my certainty against your uncertainty. If you're not sure, it's still called a suffix, and you can't be motzi mamon with suffix. So it's a big, big machlekes in the Gemara. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin Bari v'shema, lav Bari adif. In light of the fact that we follow Bar B'Shem Allah Bar Yodif, now let's go back to the Sugi Maseches Ksubas. There's a classic example of Bar B'Shem. Her upper hand claim is, I was there. I was the one who was attacked. I'm telling you exactly what had happened. It happened after Kiddushin. And he said, listen, I wasn't there. I'm just suspicious about your story. And could be that you're not telling me the truth. So Bar B'Shem, so what they did? So one would have expected that we who paskin Bar B'Shem Allah Bar Yodif, we should say sorry. She's not going to get the ksuba. That he has the upper hand. So that happens not to be the halacha. It's a machlokes ha-teraim and the Gemara paskins. We follow the view of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer that ne'menes, that she actually gets the ksuba. So the Gemara ksuba, so that's your days. Yes. Wait a second. How does the fact that we paskin she gets the 200, she wins the din Torah, bari b'shem and bari adif? How does that work? In light of the fact that we always paskin kol tar kula bari b'shem la bari adif. So how does this unique sugya Maseches Ksubas fit into our general pattern about Bar B'Shem Allah Bar Yodif? So that's the background. Now we get to the punchline for our sugyas. Take a look at the third of the Ma'amar Kamos. Inami. Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabban Gamliel Hassam eladi amrinan okma achazaka. When did Rabban Gamliel, Gamliel was the Tan who says that she's believed, the time that we paskin like, when did Rabban Gamliel say that she believed? That's only because she has a chazaka on her side. What chazaka do we have on her side? When this girl was born, she was a basula. When she was 5 years old, she was a basula. When she was 10 years old, she was a basula. When she was 15 years old, now she's walking the bays on Thursday morning, the day after the wedding, and we have a latest asafik. When did that change? Everybody agrees that changed. He claimed she was the basula the first night. She agrees she wasn't the basula the first night. So everybody's agreeing to the same fact that she, right now, not a basula. Was a basula, right now, not a basula. What's the latest asafik? The latest asafik is, when did that change occur? At what point in history, what point in time did she become no longer basula? So the principle of chazaka meikara teaches us, you follow the status quo, the chazaka remains intact until the last possible moment. When she was 5 years old, was a basula, and 10 years old, and 5 years. And now we want to know, when did it change? It changed at the latest possible point, which is, in fact, in her favor. That means, i.e., after the condition, which is exactly what she's saying. So we don't know exactly when she became not a basula, but Hilchas Chazaka Ve'Kara dictate to us, we can assume it's the latest possible date. And that's going to give her the upper hand in the Din Torah. So the Pnei Yeshua discovered this one line in Tzimtzum. We learned the Gemara Ksubas Daf Yud-Beis, you know, we run through, oh yeah, okay, great, you know, let's move on. But the Pnei Yeshua says, stop. In that half, it's five words. In those 5 words of the Gemara is an eye-opener. The Gemara just told us, we're using the principle of Chazaka Meikara to be Motzi Mamon. That's exactly what the Gemara just said. We have a latest asafek, one of the husbands, Chayev HaPater, to pay that extra 100 tzuz. The only thing pointing in the direction Chayev is the Chazaka Meikara. And that line, says the Bnei Yeshua, is the proof, positive to my Yisod. You see that you follow Chazaka to be Motzi Mamon. So Bnei Yeshua said, I turned the world upside down. So what did everybody else think? The Bnei Yeshua was very innovative in this sugya. Others didn't think it was true. The Sheh Shvaitz, others said, what do you mean? You don't follow Rome, how can you follow Chazaka? What's going on? What's got in this Gemara? The answer to this Gemara is very, very different. Go back to a moment what the original case of the Gemara was. This Gemara, really, she should have gotten the money because of Bar B'Shem and Bar Yadav. That's what the din should have been. But we pass in that. We pass in that Bar B'Shem and Bar Yadav is just not enough to tip the balance of the Baal Din. However, what the Gemara is telling us is as follows. When you have a Bar B'Shema combined with another factor, what's the other factor? Chazaka Meikara. So it's true. Bar B'Shema is not enough to be Meitzi Mamon, and Chazaka is not enough to be Meitzi Mamon. But when you put two and two together, each one independently can't be Meitzi Mamon, but together they can. The Gemara never ever said that Chazaka on its own two feet can be Meitzi Mamon. Absolutely not. If Rove doesn't work, transitive property, then Chazaka doesn't work. All the Gemara and Ksubas that the Beis meant to say is that when Chazaka joins forces with the Bar B'Shema, that's enough to tip the balance in order to be Meitzi Mamon. So we're back to square one. So we appreciate why the Bnei Yeshua said what he said. We understand that it's very helpful in our sugya, but we can't accept it until it's absolutely proven. We need a Gemara. We need an absolute smoking gun to tell us that, yes, it's true, you say Bnei Yeshua, that Chazaka works, the Hotzi Mamon, and we still don't have it. That one Gemara in Ksubas, that those five words in Ksubas of Chazaka, just don't do the trick. That Gemara is different, because that Gemara does not say Chazaka Meikara works on its own two feet. It simply says Chazaka Meikara adds and joins forces with something else, but doesn't work on its own. So we're back to square one. What gives us the right? What gives us the conviction that Chazaka is actually better than Rove? What leads us to believe that that is the case? So the other sugya that the Bnei Yeshua makes reference to is a sugya in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, on the fourth of the Marmakavos. It's actually a two-part of the sugya. One after the sugya we have, one after the sugya we didn't have. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of a background as to where this comes from. Sugya Maseches Chulin. Gemara Chulin, Adaf Yud and Adaf Yud Aleph, asks two very, very basic questions for everything we've been talking about this entire year. We know there's a principle of Rov and Halacha. We said it many times. Rov works in the Sefer Heter, maybe in the Imamunus, but we pass it. Ain't over Halacha on Rov. But Rov is a very, very powerful force in Halacha. We live our lives based on Rov. Anytime you eat a piece of meat, you by definition are relying on Rov, because nobody opened up that meat and checked to see whether it's got a hole in the stomach. We assume that odds are it doesn't, and therefore the meat is kosher. If you have a cup of coffee with some milk this morning, you're drinking milk, you are assuming that that milk came from a cow that doesn't have a hole in its head. How do you know that? You don't know that. You have a rove. So any person, by definition, is living their life based on rove. We also live our lives based on chazokos. A few minutes, we're daven, we're putting that tefillin. So I challenge you, how do you know your tefillin are kosher? Maybe something happened yesterday that disqualified your tefillin. So the answer is, well, 5 years ago, the sofa checked it, and he told me that the tefillin are kosher. So unless something radical happened, so the tefillin fell to the lake or something, I assume that the chazaka is the same. So we live our lives, we don't even think about it, it's so obvious. But in halacha, we live our lives day in and day out, relying on these two halachic principles. One is you follow majority, and number two is you follow status quo. Questions, where does this come from? What gives us a right to live our lives this way? Why don't we say that, what's that then? I can't eat meat. I can't drink milk. I have to check my parishes every single day. Everything's a suffix. I mean, it would be a very, very difficult life to live. But Vishnet is like, Minoha Mil Sadam Rabban. Those are two questions that the Gemara raised in Chulin. Minoha Mil Sadam Rabban and Zubas Aruba. Minoha Mil Sadam Rabban and Zubas Achazon. Two independent questions. So the Gemara comes up with some very, very fascinating proofs for these principles. The Gemara says, "Minoha mil sodom rabban and zubas chazaka." How do you know which state you're allowed to follow chazaka meikara? The Gemara has the following case. It's a pasuk tucked away in Parshas Mitzor. We spoke about this many times. The Torah describes a person comes to the Kohen and says, "Mr. Kohen, I'd like you to come take a look at the wall of my house. I think I have a problem. I have a negative. I think it's a negative. I don't know. I'm not a Kohen. I'm not. Yeah, I don't know the din, but based on my learning Mishnah, the Goyim, I think I have a problem in the walls of my house." So the Kohen comes, he takes a look, he takes that as a little measuring. So it looks like it's going to be a problem. It's the bad looking color. It's the Iraq Rakos Adam Damos, whatever the word that means in Pashat Torah. He measured it, more than the size of a grist. He's about to say the word Tommy. Wait, he didn't say it yet. If he says Tommy right then and there, that's a big mistake. You know why? Everything in the house just became Tommy. and there may be things in the house that may not be susceptible to becoming tar again. The person has food, the person has tikharas, things are not going to become tar in the mikvah. So the Torah says, don't say tamah yet. What does the Torah say? V'yotza ha-kohen min habayis. Go outside, close the door, and then declare the house was tamah. There comes the Gemara with a fascinating shayla. Usually most people read this pasuk, it's a very emotional pasuk. Yeah, this person's crying, he violated Lashon Hara, now he's Nebet Saras at his house. It's the first time in 10,000 years everyone's upset. And he comes to the Kayan, and the Kayan's all, everyone's, you see the drama, the tension in the air, he's about to say the word Tunde, and everyone's crying hysterical. And now, what does the Masnagi do? Wait a second, Mr. Cohen, hold on. How do you know it's still Tunde? Maybe the Nega shrunk in the last 30 seconds. Maybe it changed colors. How do you know? Vishtay, how do you know? The Kohen said, how do I know? Well, 30 seconds ago it was stomach. So 30 seconds ago was the right size to be problematic. I'm assuming that it's the same size. I'm assuming that nothing changed. Boom, say Chazal on the spot. That's the source of following status quo. If not for the Harbacha following the status quo, the whole parish of Megibata wouldn't make sense. The whole institution of the Kohen declaring Tomei based on previous information would not be accurate, would not be true. So the Torah Kedosh gives us this parasha, which, by the way, the Gemara in Heaven says never happened. Well, Hevlo Yeh, Negev Teras, is something that was given to us as a parasha of Kedosh Baruch Hu, Dresh V'Kavos Cha. Chavetz Chaim has a fascinating insight. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there were several parashas that never happened. Yer Nidach has never happened, and Mitzvah and Meir never happened, and Negev Batim never happened. So ask the Chavetz Chaim, I understand. And imagine for a second these three parashas weren't given to us. We'd have nothing else to learn. Hilchos Shabbos, there's nothing else in the Torah to learn. So what did Rosh Chavetz Chaim say? So Chavetz Chaim said that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us certain parashas in the Torah that are absolutely not shayach l'maisa. They can never be l'maisa, even if you bend them back. It just can't happen. The Metzias of the Dvar Mitzvah, to have a Nigat Zeras, to have a Nidak Zeres, there are too many factors in Olam Hazeh that make it just about impossible for these things to occur. Because Baruch Hu wanted to show us that Torah, he alam that it's Torah. Person shouldn't make that mistake. I'm only going to learn the parts of Torah that's relevant. Well, I'll learn Kitta Shulchan Aruch because that's going to teach me how to make a brachas, and that's good. No. Torah alam that it's Torah. Torah is independently chashuv. Duration Gabbos Chai. Go spend your whole day learning a sugya that's never, ever, ever going to happen. It's just that shayach is going to happen. Remember, I was learning in Kambi Yavna. So one summer, I'd gone back to learn in summer's man. I had been learning in Bumas that year. So those who learned the Fiongo, I got an extra appreciation of this. So I was sitting in the back of the Spanish, and I was chasming the third Pech of Yavamas. The third Pech of Yavamas opens up with Arba Achin and Suman Arba Achoyas. Four brothers are married to four sisters. Two of them die, and they fall for Yibach. I don't want to be a betting person, but I doubt this ever happened, and I don't think it's ever going to happen. I mean, a good chunk of Yavamas is just not happening. So I remember there was a discussion with the Rebbeim in Yeshiva about, should the Yeshiva learn a little more L'maisa Masechta? So some were saying, no, you got to learn, the traditional Mabatiya. Maybe we should throw Shabbos in the mix, a little more L'maisa. So one of the Rebbeim turned to the other Rebbe and said, look at Sobolovsky over there. That's a lemaisa masechta. Arba achim, suin arba achoyim. That's really on target. I still remember that line. So those of you who learned Kevin Yavnik would probably guess who's the one who made that comment. It was Rabbi Achman. He's the one who said, now there's a lemaisa feel. Arba achim. So bottom line is, Nigi Batim, as not lemaisa as it is, it actually serves as a source for everyday life. I can't go daven with my children today if not for Nigi Batim. Wow, I should have a start. So we know it's true. We know there's a principle called Chazal. But then the Gemara asks the next question. How do you know you follow Rav? And the Gemara goes, hold daft to try to figure out. You think it's easy. Not all easy. So hopefully next week we have to go back to that question of the Gemara. So Taka, what is the Makom for Rav? And then to assess, wait a second. If I already know I follow Chazal, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I follow Rav? Is it Rov greater than Chazaka? That's going to be the issue that the Beis Shiva is going to address over this year. Next week, I'll try to analyze that Gemara and fluid properly and be able to connect back to that, back to the Mabasta. Good job, sir. Good job, sir.
Maybe that's
a challenge. Good job.
Shabbat, everybody.